How many of you are missing your refrigerator? How many of you are missing your snack cabinet at home? All right, you know, when I was growing up, Mom many times would not put the leftovers away. Because within an hour, hour and a half, my brothers and I would be back in the kitchen raiding it. And now, I don't know what your home is like. I've been told that not all homes are like this, but my parents, they told us it was there, and if we needed it, we could help ourselves. And that was a blessing to my brothers and I. I grew up in a home of three boys. So between medical bills and groceries, my parents are dirt poor, all right? And the only time we were not allowed to eat something, my mom learned by the time we were teenagers, she would put a piece of masking tape on the dish that was in the refrigerator, and many times it would say this, "Do not eat for funeral." In other words, she was a pastor's wife, and she was making food for the funeral, and that was the one food we were not supposed to eat, but everything else we could eat. So when we were growing up, we had everything we needed to eat. Now, you say, good night. I mean, can you imagine pizza and ice cream? And no, it wasn't like that. It wasn't something where you would say, oh, yeah. It wasn't like that at all. But we had everything we needed. Now, we grew up very poor. I didn't realize we were poor, honestly, until we got to college. My brothers and I had no idea that my parents didn't have a lot. It was just part of my parents and how they would act. And we grew up. And when we would come home from church on Sunday night, my mom would tear up bread and she'd put it in a bowl and we'd pour gravy on top. We thought everybody had gravy bread after Sunday night church. Or my dad would go to that part of the country. It was a place called Farm Fresh. It was a grocery store. And he would go, and I guess Farm Fresh had not learned how to keep things fresh. And he would go and buy a dozen donuts for about 25 cents, and he'd buy the cheapest ice cream, and he'd bring them home, and after we ate our gravy bread, then he would put the donut that was a few days old in the microwave, he'd warm it up, put vanilla ice cream on it, and you talk about amazing. But we never went hungry. So that was unique to me as I began to travel, and I began to go around the world and meet people that were going hungry, And I thought, man, we have it so good in America. I've never been hungry. Well, that changed. That changed drastically 3 years ago. I was outside and I was washing our RV. Now, we live in an RV full time, so our home is on wheels. Now, some people say, oh, I'm so sorry. Why? If I don't like my neighbors, I hook up my home and go find new ones. It's pretty great. I don't ever have to mow the grass. It's wonderful. I just moved to a place that doesn't have grass or a place that where somebody's already mowed the grass. So it works really well. Well, I was washing our 40-foot by 8.5-foot RV, and I was washing the cap. Now, washing an RV, at least the way I do it, takes me about 2.5 days to get it washed, to get it clean, and usually it happens right after we come back from the west and we're back east. So I'm up on a ladder, and I'm beginning to wash the cap of our RV. And all of a sudden, I have this stabbing pain inside. And I think, what in the world? For the past year, I had had this stabbing pain. It would come, and usually within about 15 minutes, it would leave. But this time, it was excruciating. This time, it felt like somebody had put a shotgun in my belly and pulled the trigger. I had experienced pain. I've broken my back. I've shattered the three lower discs in my back when I was in high school. I've broken fingers. I've had surgeries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I've never felt anything like this. I'm up on a 6-foot ladder washing the rig, and I think, oh, no, something's not right. As quick as I could and wasn't very fast, I came down the ladder. I put the brush down in the bucket, and I began to stagger inside our RV. My wife took one look at me and she said, whoa! Most of the time that's what she says. She said, what's wrong with you? I said, I have no idea. But I think you need to take the girls outside. And I think I need to be left alone for a minute. She took the girls outside, and by the way, you need to be kind to your siblings, because one day, if you're like me, you'll end up parking your rig in your little brother's driveway. So I'm in my little brother's driveway, and my wife, she leaves my girls in the care of my sister-in-law, and my wife comes back in, and she finds me on the floor of the bathroom, and I'm passed out. She comes and she says, "Are you okay?" About that time, I'm waking up. I'm in a cold sweat. I said, "I have no idea." She said, "You should go to the doctor." I said, "No way. I mean, why would I go to someone that's still practicing? I want to go to somebody that knows what they're doing, and I haven't found a doctor that knows that. And besides all of that, I have something called CDO. That's OCD in alphabetical order. By the way, I was in Oro Valley not too long ago, and I saw a place that says Mental and OCD Help Center. And I thought, I didn't know it was that bad. So I'm laying there, and I'm thinking, if I go to the doctors, I know what's going to happen. They're going to say it's clean. They're going to put gloves on and make them snap. It smells like latex. And then I know me, I'm going to look in the corners around the baseboard, and I'm going to see the cobwebs. I see them in every doctor's office I've ever been in. Cobwebs, dust, something somebody missed. And so I know it's not really clean. Well, my wife said, "What do you want to do?" And I said, "It'll be all right. I'm a man. I can handle it." She said, "I think you need to go." I said, "No, I'm good." But I began to lose my appetite. The appetite went away, and I couldn't eat. In fact, it began to hurt so bad in my stomach that I couldn't even lay down anymore. So I sat in the Lazy Boy, and I slept in the Lazy Boy. I couldn't finish washing the rig. I could do nothing, and I stayed in that Lazy Boy for a week and a half. I couldn't eat anything, hardly, but crackers, and even that didn't taste good. And so for a week and a half, I'm sitting in the Lazy Boy, and I'm thinking, good night. I'm so hungry, but I have no appetite. Finally, the morning of the week and a half, I walked into the bathroom to at least brush my teeth, and I looked in the mirror, and my skin had turned yellow overnight. I looked at the whites of my eyes, and they were no longer white, but yellow. And I told my wife, I said, "Something is wrong. And I think it's serious. I'm going to drive myself to the ER. Now, that's a big deal. But I did tell my wife, I said, "I'll be back in a couple hours." Yeah, right. So I drive myself to the ER. I get out and I walk in and I look at the lady and I say, "Hi, how are you?" She said, "Oh, I'm good. How about you?" I said, "Not too great." She said, "What's wrong?" "I'm sick. I mean, that's why I'm in the ER. I'm sick." She said, "Okay, what hurts?" And I said, "My belly hurts. I don't know what's wrong." She said, "Okay, what's been going on?" I said, "I've turned yellow. My eyes are yellow." She said, "All right, that's a little unusual. Probably something we need to get checked out." I said, "Yeah, I think so." She said, "What have you eaten today?" And I said, "Nothing." She said, "When was the last time you ate?" I said, "A week and a half ago." She said, "I bet you're hungry." I said, "Yes, I'm hungry." She said, "Have you ever had your gallbladder taken out?" I just looked at her and I said, "I don't even know what that is." She said, "It's in your stomach." I said, "If it was there and if I was born with it, it's still there." She said, "Okay, then you need to sit down. We'll be right with you." 5.5 hours later. 5.5 hours later. Nurse comes to me and she said, "Are you Mr. Stevenson?" I said, "Yes." She said, "I'm here for you." I said, "About time." She said, "Would you please sit in the wheelchair?" I said, "Lady, I can walk. My legs aren't hurt. It's just my stomach." She said, "Would you sit in the wheelchair? I'm going to wheel you back. It's just policy." I sat in the wheelchair, felt like an invalid. She wheels me back, and she says, "Okay, now we're going to run some tests." They do an MRI. They do a CT scan, all these things. And then she says, "Now we're going to do an ultrasound." I said, "Ma'am," I said, "may I be really kind but really frank with you? I already know I'm not pregnant." She said, "Well, we need to do it and check." I said, "Okay." So I lay down, and she begins to do an ultrasound, and then she starts doing this. I don't think they're supposed to do this. Ooh. Oh. I said, "What's wrong?" "I can't talk about it." I said, lady, you're not making me feel much better. She wheels me here. She wheels me there. She wheels me into the ER room, finally, after about 7 hours. I'm sitting in the ER room. The doctor comes to me, and he said, I think we have a problem. I said, yeah, I think so. He said, Mr. Stevenson, he said, I'm glad you came in today. I said, I'm not. He said, well, I don't think you understand. He said, Mr. Stevenson, how long has it been since you've eaten anything? I said, a week and a half. He said, Mr. Stevenson, how long has this pain been serious? I said, a week and a half. He said, Mr. Stevenson, all our scans are showing this. If you hadn't come in today, you'd be dead tomorrow. I said, excuse me? He said, you're dying. I said, we need to fix this. We need to fix it right now. I said, I'm supposed to be home in a couple hours. He said, you're not going anywhere. He said, you are literally dying. I said, okay, well, can I have a last meal? He said, no, you can't eat anything. I said, doc, you don't understand. I haven't eaten in over a week and a half. I'm hungry. He said, well, we have to have 2 emergency surgeries. We'll have the first one tomorrow morning. I said, that does not sound like an emergency to me. He says, it's an emergency. We have to make sure you haven't eaten anything for 24 hours before we do it. I said, I haven't eaten anything in 20, and how many hours? A week and a half. He said, you have to wait. That night, I'm laying in a hospital bed, and as I'm laying there hungry and actually smelling hospital food and thinking it smells good, the Lord brings to my mind Psalm 81. And as He brings it to my mind, I've realized that there is a great truth that we must learn. In Psalm 81, he begins this passage by saying, verse number 1, sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow the trumpet and the new moon and the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For there was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony. When he went through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not, I, speaking of God, removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder, Mount Sinai. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel. If thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. My Father, I pray that you'd be with us now as we open the Word of God. May you hide me behind the cross. May my dear friends only see Jesus this morning. May the truths of the Scripture be made alive. And may we simply obey. And I ask this in your name and for your sake. Amen. When I'm laying in the hospital bed, I'm thinking of this verse in Psalm 81, where the Lord says this, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. I'm laying there thinking, I'm so hungry. I'll eat anything. Anything. I'll even eat durian fruit, which in my travels is the worst thing ever. I'll eat anything. Just give me something to eat. And as I'm laying there, I realize that God says this, I will feed you. I'll give you everything you need, but it's dependent upon how much you truly want. How far are you willing to open your mouth and let God fill it? Here's many times how we, as God's people and teenagers, how we live. We live with the idea of, God, I want you for heaven, but I want to do everything else my way. Oh, maybe I'll include you, but not you alone. And God says, if that's how you're going to live, you will starve. The psalmist here, he begins to write, he writes how the children of Israel were in Egypt and how God came and God delivered them from that life. He set them free from bondage, the shoulder from the oppression. It says how he removed them from the pots. In other words, this was your old life of bondage, but God set you free. He took you to the land of promise. By the way, in the Bible, when you read about the promised land, that is not heaven. I'm not saying we should stop singing certain songs that talk about it like that. But the Bible is clear that the God's land of promise is the land of victory that He gives us, that He wants us to fully enjoy. In other words, young person, you can have victory over sin. You can have victory over selfishness. You can have victory in your life over the sin that does so easily beset you. But it's not in your power, it's in God's. You read here in the passage, a psalmist says, listen, all of this has happened, and look at all that God had done. God didn't just deliver us. On Mount Sinai, He met with us and gave us the Ten Commandments. Then later, when we needed water, God would give us water. Oh, God's taken great care of us. And God has said, I will be your God, you will be my people. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Young person, I seriously doubt that any of us have an idol in our homes. A true idol that is made of wood or stone, and we bow down to it and worship it and put rice in front of it and put chopsticks straight up and down. I seriously doubt any of that is in our homes. However, anything that takes the place of a holy God is called an idol. In other words, if there's something more important to you than the God Almighty that sets you free from sin and hell and gives you a home in heaven, then you are living in bondage to an idol. What would you think if a slave had been set free? And when he was set free, then he would just pick up his chains and walk around with his chains all the time. You'd say, you're an idiot. I mean, you're a few fries short of a Happy Meal. Something's wrong. And that's exactly what we do. We've been set free, yet we'd rather do it our way. We'd rather go back to the chains of sin that bind us and that keep us from seeing what God can do in our lives. You read here in this passage and notice what he says in Psalm 81. Notice what he will say in verse number 9. He says, there shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. By the way, it's no one else's responsibility for your closeness to Jesus Christ. Many times we have the idea, I can be close to God by just coming to church. It's the preacher's job to feed me. And if I'm not being fed, shame on the preacher. That's not what Psalm 81 says, and it's not what Isaiah 55 says. Isaiah 55 is clear. No matter who's preaching, the Bible will work. We dealt with that yesterday. Here it says, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. When I hear anyone tell me this, and I've said it myself, oh, I'm just not being fed. I'm just not growing. I'm just not doing everything I should do. But wait. It's no one's fault but our own. No one's. You say, well, you don't understand the home that I grew up in. You know, there are an awful lot of people in the Bible who grew up in tough homes, but still chose to serve God. There are young people in the Bible who grew up in broken or battered homes, and God still used them. And young person, it doesn't matter your background, the same God can still be real to you. And he goes on in Psalm 81, and he will say in verse number 11, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. In other words, God says, I want to feed you, I want to bless you, I want to answer your prayer, I want to give you real joy, and here's what my people do. No! I'll do it myself. So I'm laying in the hospital bed. I begin to recall times where I am sitting there year earlier thinking, oh, that's uncomfortable. Oh, that doesn't feel right. But I just go on with life. Eventually, it would fade enough that I could operate. But this time, it's not fading. The doctor comes in and he says, Mr. Stevenson, you remember those emergency surgeries? I said, yes, sir. He said, we have to have two of them. The first one is to remove something called a gallstone. He said, a gallstone has gotten stuck and it is now in the place of all of your vital organs. He said, your pancreas, your liver, and your kidneys have already begun to shut down and they are being severely damaged. We have to operate immediately. I said, okay. The morning came, the doctors come in. They say, okay, Mr. Stevenson, you ready to go? I said, I reckon. They said, listen, are you hungry? I said, are you kidding? It's been a week and a half and now a day and a half. And I am starving. And here's what he says. Don't worry, Mr. Stevenson. After we take this gallstone out, you can eat anything you want. I said, will I feel like eating? Oh, yes. It'll make a huge difference. I said, great, let's go. They said, here we go. They came in. They began to wheel me down. I said, where are we going? They said, the basement. I don't know why. For any other reason that they have the operating rooms in the basement, except the fact that it's closer to the morgue. I'm thinking, you're just trying to save steps later. I get in there. They say, okay, here we go. You doing all right? Yep, doing fine. I'm out. I wake up later in the room. I'm there sitting. I'm like, woo! I feel amazing. I'm ready to go run a marathon. Oh, wait, got to eat first. So as I'm laying there, my brother, he is waiting there for me. Again, this is my little brother. Be kind to your siblings. He's sitting there in the room. I come in laying in the bed. He said, how you feeling? I said, I'm great. He said, what can I do for you? I said, you find me a menu, man. He said, okay. He goes to the nurse's desk. He looks for a menu. He comes back, but there is, excuse me, an unblessed in the way of ugly nurse in front of him. And she is walking toward me. And she looks like she just came off of a Marine Corps base. My brother is walking behind her and he's going, I didn't know what that meant. Lady comes in, she's like, excuse me, I heard you want to eat. I said, of course. I said, I haven't eaten in a week and a half and now almost 2 days. She said, Mr. Stevenson, you can't eat anything. I said, you wait just a minute. I said, the last doctor who just took this thing out of me told me I could eat anything I wanted to. She said, well, that's not true. I said, he's a doctor. You're a nurse. She said, excuse me, there's another doctor who's giving you another operation tomorrow, and we have to make sure you haven't eaten anything. Are you kidding? Everybody in the hospital should know I haven't eaten anything. It's going to be 3 weeks before I've eaten anything. Come on now. She said, no way. You can have ice chips. What in the world has that helped anybody? So I'm laying there, and my brother says, man, aren't you hungry? I said, I'm starving. He said, well, they already took out the problem. And the nurse says, no, we didn't take out the problem. We took out the symptom. In other words, the real problem was something called my gallbladder. The symptom was a gallstone. So when the gallstone is removed, I think, woo, I'm feeling good. I can eat. But the doctor comes in and explains to me, if we don't take out the gallbladder, next month, you'll be right back in here with the exact same thing. Young person, listen. Many of us live just like that. We come to camp, and every summer, we have to deal with the symptoms of sin. We deal with this, and we deal with that. We say, oh, I'm living this way. I shouldn't be doing that. Lord, I'm sorry. We walk away. Oh, that's not right. Okay, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Why are we dealing with these symptoms? Hey, by the way, your obedience, what you've been looking at, what you've been listening to, the way you've been treating others, those are not problems, those are symptoms. And he says so in Psalm 81. Notice what he says in Psalm 81 in verse number 12. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust. Young person, how we act is because of the choices we have made in our heart. What's on the inside always reveals itself on the outside. We say, listen, I look good, I act good, okay, I deal with this and that, but what's the big deal? By the way, sin is not an oops, it's a choice. It's a choice of the will. And he's already said, you've proved who your God is. And now he's saying, listen, this is not a symptom, this is a heart issue. One of the greatest or one of the saddest verses in all of the Bible are the verses where God says, and I gave them up to their own heart's lust, and I let them have what their heart desired. In other words, I had something so much better, and they turned it away. Young person, maybe there are problems, but it's not the root of the issue. The root of the issue is the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Notice what he says here in this passage. He says in verse number, let's go to verse number 13. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. And here's what he's saying. He said, listen, I wanted to do so much, but you're missing out because instead of following me, you're following your heart. Instead of following me, you're dealing with the symptom. Instead of dealing with the real heart issue, now you're only dealing with the symptoms. And you'll hear preaching this week, like we heard last night. Hey, let's deal with the hurt. Let's forgive. Hey, listen, let's not put other things before God. Let's follow God. Oh, let's watch what we put before our eyes. Let's be careful and make sure it pleases God. Let's not mock our father and mother. Let's be respectful. Let's do what we ought to do, what God says do. But when we don't put God as our God, and instead of obeying Him, we simply choose to do what we want to do, then we have the symptoms that show themselves above all else. But God says, listen, it's not just the symptoms. Let's not deal with the problems. Let's deal with the heart issue. And the heart issue is we love ourselves more than we love God. And here in the passage, he says, let's deal with the real issue. I'm laying in the hospital bed, and they come in the next morning. They say, you ready? I said, I suppose. Can I eat anything afterwards? Oh, yes, you can eat anything. I said, I better be able to. The last time you told me I was, and I couldn't. Again, they wheel me downstairs, closer to the morgue. Doctor comes in. He says, we'll take care of this. I'm laying there. They put me under. When I come back out, I'm back in the hospital room, and I'm cut deep, wide, and often. And they've removed the gallbladder. Doctor says you should not have any more problems with your gallbladder because it's not in there anymore. Great. Doc, can I eat? Yes, Mr. Stevenson, you can eat anything you want. I have met many other people that have had the same kind of operation, and they've said, you can't do that. Well, my doctor said I could, so I did. So I'm laying there, and my brother, he looks at me, he said, hey, what do you want? I said, you know my favorite pizza place. He said, you haven't eaten in almost, you know, we're pushing 2 weeks now. That's what you want? I said, you better believe it. I said, Doc, is it okay? Oh, yeah, you can eat it. My brother said, here we go. We got in his old CRV that had bald tires, and it bounces all over the rural community in Ohio. And I'm riding, and the staples are pulling. Oh, you talk about painful, but when we got to the pizza place, it was worth it. He said, where now, bro? I said, find me a DQ and find it fast. I went to Dairy Queen. I got an ice cream. You said, you're not supposed to do that. Oh, let me tell you, when you haven't eaten in 2 weeks, you don't care what you eat, but you want it to be good. Yep. And I ate, and I enjoyed it, and as I'm eating, I think, man, I sure missed out on a lot. You'll miss out on the Lord's blessing. You'll miss out on the victory. You'll miss out on the joy and the peace and the fruit that He offers in your Christian life when you do it your way. And I often ask myself, why didn't I go in sooner? Why didn't I go in when my wife said, hey, you should go to the doctor? Because I listened to me. Notice what he says in the verse. The end of verse number 12. And they walked in their own counsels. In other words, you decided what you wanted to do and you didn't take in consideration what God said. Most of the time we say, hey, listen, preacher said we shouldn't live that way. How about this? If the preacher's preaching the Bible said you shouldn't live that way. God said you shouldn't live that way. Well, it's not a big deal. Wait a minute. God says don't listen to yourself. You say, hey, I'll ask other people what they think. If it's contrary to the Bible, it's wrong. I'll put it on Facebook, see how many people like it. It doesn't matter how many people agree on any subject. It doesn't change truth, young person. And you go into the Word of God. Notice what God says. We're almost done. Verse number 13 again. He said, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. In other words, I was going to fight for them. Verse number 15. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto Him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them with the finest of the wheat and with the honey out of the rock. Should I have satisfied thee? In other words, God says this. I wanted to do it for you. I wanted to feed you. And I would have given you the very best gluten. I would have given you the very best honey. I would have fed you. And by the way, when God does something, it's always good. And God says, I would have, and then He uses this word, satisfied thee. Young person, there is no one else that can satisfy you except Jesus. There is nothing else that can satisfy you in your Christian life except Jesus and doing it His way. And when you do it your way, He says, wait, there's a problem. And if you don't deal with the problem, you're going to have more problems. And you need to see that the real problem, there's actually a root of the problem. Stop dealing with the symptoms. And if you don't, there will be devastating results. You'll miss out on everything I freely offer. Young person, God is enough. He offers everything. And when you and I choose to hold on to our way of thinking, our way of doing things, our sin, our lust, He says, no, I want to satisfy you. Don't stop your ears. Listen. Follow me. Obey. So I ask you, are you hungry? Oh, I don't mean physically. I mean spiritually. What God is in your life? What idol have you set up? What sin have you continued to say, oops, sorry, oops, sorry, oops, sorry? How about the heart issue? The heart issue says, I'm sorry for my sin, and how I got there was because I followed my own heart. And God says, I'll give you everything you need. So, young person, who satisfies you? If anything else satisfies you except God, you can mark it down. It will not satisfy you long. Only Jesus. What is it that keeps you from finding Him? What is the sin that thus so easily besets you? What is it that you are holding on to that God has said no, and maybe already? And the message is God's pointed His finger in your heart. And maybe you've sat there and go, okay, shouldn't do that. Oops, I'll try not to do that again. No, no, no. The more you try, the more you fail. But when you trust Jesus, He's the only one that can give you everything you need.